Father, as our manner is, Lord, we come before you and together today to fellowship. Glory to God. And we thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to do so together virtually across this great nation and around the world. People have come together and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, as we declare also that the entrance of the word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, Lord, we receive that light today and that understanding. Let it come in our hearts in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, glory and praise. Amen and amen. On this series of life in the spirit, we have covered many things. And the one we actually also covered yesterday, I mean, these were all great lessons that we should all listen to if you missed it, or even if you did not miss it, it's always a good thing to go back and listen, again and again. So we have talked about walking in the glory of God. We have talked about walking in the prophetic. And this topic today is the one that most people are actually more familiar with, which is miracles, signs, and wonders. When we talk about, great things that the Lord should do, life in the spirit, people are always expecting these great things. And yes, it's part of, this series. We can't complete a series such as this without talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. But I wanted to leave it towards the end, because I didn't want us to think that that's all that there is in, when we're talking about life in the spirit. We can't focus primarily on signs and wonders. So the Lord took us through all the more, important things, like, getting victory over the flesh. That's really important. We spent several days on that one, beyond the flesh. And then, the veil of the flesh. And then we talked about the glory of God. We talked about, all these things. And yesterday's lesson, was also important, walking in the prophetic. We talked about every one of us can do that. Not just people who are titled or labeled prophets or that they have the gift of prophecy. We all can walk in the prophetic. And that's the expectation, actually. And what is walking in the prophetic? To give just a quick review. Well, for one thing, when you declare the word of God at the moment, and it comes to pass later on, that's prophecy right there. So, and that means when we learn how to use the word of God to speak over situations, which Jesus taught his disciples, speak to this mountain, he said, and don't doubt it in your heart, but believe it, and it shall come to pass. So if we speak now and it comes to pass later, well, that's prophetic. So all of us can do that. Use the word of God. But more importantly, what we focused on yesterday was hearing the voice of God. We talked about the difference between the logos and the rhema. The written word is, we have it now, logos. Nobody can say, I didn't know that, because it's in the scriptures. If it's in the scriptures, you can't say I didn't know that, because we have the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, well, you have the scriptures. Well, search those scriptures. They are they that testify of me. John 5 and 39. Search the scriptures. Told them. And, Paul also told Timothy, search the scriptures. But they are they that are able to make you wise unto salvation. Search the scriptures, dive yourself into it. He told Timothy, he said, look, study the word of God. Study to show yourself approved. 2 Timothy 2:15 and all these things that he told him. And so we're encouraged, you know, throughout to search the scriptures. And when we know the word of God, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful tool. And so when we learn to not only obey the written word, and to, you know, walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit, then we are real candidates for Rhema. You know, there is no reason really for God to speak anything new to us if we don't even tremble at the one he has already spoken. So, you know, today we have the Bible, compilation of many, many, many things that, you know, holy men of God, the Bible says in, second, you know, Timothy 3:16, it talked about the word of God, what it is useful for, exhortation, you know, admonition, all these things, correction, righteousness and instruction and all these things. And we're told that these scriptures were given not by private interpretation. Holy man of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, they spoke and wrote those things. So the Bible is the written word of God. The Holy Spirit will also speak directly to us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So those are the things we talked about yesterday. I invite you to listen to the replay. But today I want to go on to this area here that excites more people when we're talking about, say, for instance, manifestation of the sons of God. You know, this is the part that most people are looking for. Signs, miracles, wonders, and so forth. And yeah, it's part of it too. But we don't follow signs. Here's a warning that I want to give, which is also the reason why I'm doing this miracle, signs, and wonders last, after covering all the other stuff. You know, this is the warning. Not every sign, miracle, and wonder that is done, even claimed to be done in the name of the Lord, necessarily is done from a place of where the heart is right with the Lord. Jesus talked about that. In Matthew 7 and 21 and 22, he said, look, not everyone that calls me Lord will enter into the kingdom, but those that do the will of my Father. You say, Lord, Lord, or yes, Lord, but you don't really do his will. You say, well, that's no good. And remember that Jesus told a parable like that in Matthew 21. He said, a father had two sons. He said to the one, go to my field and do something. Today, the young man said, I am not going, flat out. You know, and then so, okay. The father turned to the second one and said, well, why don't you go to my field and walk today? And he said, right away, sir. But he didn't go. You know. So the one that said yes actually did not go. The one that said no later repented and went. And Jesus asked the people, said, look, which of these two sons did his father's will? The one who at first said no, but later repented. The one who responded right away, but didn't do it. I said, which one? Well, they got the right answer. I said, well, the one that went and did it. I said, okay. Yeah. So just saying yes, Lord, or yes, but not doing it doesn't count with God. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, continuing our Matthew 7, 21 and 22, he said, look, so many people say, yes, Lord, I ask, Lord, right away, Lord, but they don't do the will of God. He said, but even some people do some things which they claim to be in my name, but their heart is not right with me and they are not in the right place with the Lord. And he said, I will profess unto them that day, you know, they come and say, did we not do all these marvelous works and wrought signs and wonders and prophesied in your name and in your name cast out devils or done all these things? And yet Jesus, this is a baffling scripture. Why in the world would people have done? And remember, they said that they did these things in his name. They didn't just do these things. And yet, The Bible says that the foundation of the Lord is sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his, and they that call on the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. Well, these people probably did not depart from iniquity, because Jesus said, well, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity. So, let's not, think that signs and wonders is a validation necessarily of everything. It could be a validation, and we'll talk about how it can be a validation today, but make no mistake about it, the Lord can see beyond everything, and not everyone that did those things will get the reward accordingly. Some may actually lose their reward if they did it for show. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 6. He said, well, when you do these things before men or to be seen of men, so you have your reward. So anything that we do in order to be seen of men, whether prayers, whether fasting, whether giving of alms, and let me also add even signs and miracles and wonders, if we do them to be seen of men, same thing, we have our reward. We will not be rewarded again by the Lord, because we already have our reward. So, just a backdrop or back or warning on, miracles, signs, and wonders like that. But let me define, miracles, signs, and wonders, what those might be before we and get started. Praise the Lord. Certain root words that are used in the Bible: miracles, dynamis, or acts of supernatural power. We'll give examples. We'll come to that later. What about signs? Root word simea. Actions or things, that point beyond themselves to what might be known as a deeper spiritual concept or truth. What about wonders? Terata, the root word that's used. Some events or happenings, that generate amazement and awe and draw attention to God. So there are miracles, there are signs, there are wonders, and there are several of them that we see in the scriptures. And we'll also see some reasons that the scripture gives why these may be important. Then we'll look at examples, and then we'll take we'll talk about testimonies also in our lives. Now let me start by saying a statement that Jesus himself said, a powerful statement he made about signs and wonders. In the book of John chapter 4, there's a story that we read of a man, that asked, petitioned Jesus for something. And we don't know, what Jesus knew about this man, but he said something that was rather, strange. So let me read from John chapter 4 and verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. That was the first miracle that John recorded, the making of the water into wine and all that. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto Jesus and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For his son was at the point of death. But look at what Jesus said. Jesus made this statement, said, Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. For whatever reason why the Lord said this to this particular man, you can Your guess is as good as mine. But we're not told here, but that's the reason why Jesus said it. However, by Jesus saying it, he himself is saying that, I mean, we can deduce from this statement that even, you know, sometimes when people don't believe like they should, well, signs and wonders might give some credence to what we are trying to testify about. For instance, if you're trying to testify about the risen Lord, or testify about your faith, or testify about something about Christ, well, if people find it hard to believe, or they don't respond, well, signs and wonders may not, they may not be able to deny that. We'll talk about that also. Now, in the book of John, we read many miracles, that Jesus did, you know, and, with his disciples, I mean, when they were seeing the book of John, Luke, Mark, all of them, there were many miracles, you know, that Jesus, did. And he, at many times, you know, did these things in the presence of his disciples, for them to see and to learn. And even one time, there was one side of his ability to do these things that he wanted the people to see, which they hadn't seen. I mean, he had done all kinds of things. He had raised the dead from somebody that was being carried in the casket. People who are just freshly dead and all those things. But he, you know, the disciples had not yet seen him call out somebody from the grave that had been buried, the stone rolled and so on, and, you know, call him out of there. And Jesus will show that he could do that and that he himself will come out of the grave later on. You know, I mean, people have seen this before. Later on, they might believe that Christ actually come out of the grave. Because, you know, he knew that he's coming out of that grave and he'd been telling the people about it, but they might not believe. So he's going to show it to them first. That, look, I can call somebody out of that grave after many days. That shouldn't be too hard for you to believe that I come out of the grave after 3 days. You know, so he's going to show it to them in the case of Lazarus. When Lazarus was sick, and almost dying, they sent to him and he didn't come. He delayed even some more in the same place where he was until the man died and was buried. And then they traveled back there. And by the time they got there, the man had been buried for 4 days. But Jesus told the disciples something before he left to go back there. He said, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. What was he talking about? Well, he needed them to see this demonstration of the power, you know, of the Lord. He needed them to see that. So, and he did that. Show it to them. He said also that this sickness is not unto death. Now listen to this. This sickness is not unto death, Jesus said in John chapter 11 verse 4. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So, some of these signs are miracles, you know, especially these outstanding ones. When you think of them, the purpose really for the glory of God, not just for us to know that, oh, we're walking in power. You know, we're walking in power. That's just a side thing. I mean, that's the new normal. That was the title of yesterday's lesson. Walking in the prophetic is the new normal. Well, walking with signs and wonders and miracles should also be the new normal. It's not, shouldn't be something, you know, that, you know, we should be raving about. It should be happening all the time. But the reason behind it is for the glory of God. Jesus said here that Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know, and then later on he told them, look, I am, say, Lazarus is dead, you know, and he said, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go on to him. So, I'm glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent that you should believe. So, in God's mind, these miracles, signs, and wonders are to the intent to help people believe. Just like Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So I'm laying this argument for the way that it is in God's mind. And this is what God wants to use. Now, besides God doing miracles to alleviate the sufferings of people or to whatever, he would do it also for his own glory, the glory of the people. And one thing that Jesus did not do was he did not do miracles for sure. He never did. In fact, sometimes they said, well, show us a sign. the Greeks, they seek after, wisdom. The Jews, they want a sign. The Jews were always comparing Jesus to Moses. Well, Moses gave us bread from heaven. What do you give us? This and this and this. Yeah. And Jesus wouldn't do it. Every time they said, show us a miracle, show us a sign, he wouldn't do it. But he would turn around and do it, as the sheep that had, as the shepherd that had passion for his flock and for the scattered sheep. And he would heal the people out of compassion. He would do these miracles, to bring good to the people, deliver them from the power of the devil. Acts 10:38. He went about doing good and setting people free. But he never did it in answer to some critic and said, well, show us a sign. He never did it. And every time he did things, and you all know the stories of Christ, most of the time he would tell the people, hey, tell nobody, just go your way. One time he told somebody, tell nobody, but go down. But the guy went all over the place broadcasting it. But Jesus didn't. That was not his intention. One time he wanted to heal the lepers. He said, well, go show yourself to the priest. He already knew, Jesus knew, that, those lepers that were outcast in the day, according to the culture of the people of Israel, the priests were the ones that would certify them that they were clean, in order to be able to re-enter society, because that thing was contagious. So these people, Jesus demonstrated a miracle and said, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, they were not healed yet, but Jesus knew that they needed to show themselves to the priests in order to be clear that they are now clean. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. In his mind, Jesus already knew they would be healed before they got to the priest. The reason to go show themselves to the priest was because that they were healed and they wanted to be certified that they are now clean. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, miracle helped. But Jesus didn't, Jesus didn't care that the people went and broadcast anything. In fact, he acknowledged the one that came back to Jesus, didn't go around shouting it everywhere. He came back to Jesus and gave glory with a loud voice. And Jesus said, well, where are the others? So Jesus was impressed because the man came back to give glory to God, not just because the man went around broadcasting it. That didn't impress Jesus. He always told the people, don't say anything, just go your way. And to the point that even in John chapter 7, this is there's a hidden story here in John chapter 7 that several people don't know that Jesus always, tried to decline any cajoling for him to show himself and so forth. So in John chapter 7, even his own brethren, in his own natural family, here's what they said to him. Let's read a little bit of it. Now I'm saying all of these just to show us that what Jesus had in mind for miracles and so on is not what we have in mind many times. He said, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. Well, he would not walk openly in Jewry because his Jews were seeking to kill him. So there was a feast of tabernacles that was close by. And his brethren, now these were members of his family, natural family, said unto him, hey, depart thence and go into Judea, so that thy disciples also may see thy works which thou doest. And I said this to him. He said, look, there is no man that doeth things in secret and yet himself wants to be known. Why are you always doing things in secret? I see. I said, show yourself openly. Advertise. Do these things. And Jesus said, no. You know, but it's those, his brethren, at that time, they didn't really believe in him. They were just saying those things. Later on, thank God that they did believe. But, you know, the at this time, they really, truly didn't believe. And that's amazing that people of his own household at that time, so brethren didn't really believe in him. But they were saying these things because they wanted to see more signs, wanted to see more miracles. Maybe that will help them to believe. But Jesus said, except you see signs and wonders. And most of the time, Jesus did his miracles in secret. So people didn't hear too much about it. And so, and Jesus didn't do it. And, you know, he said, look, my time is not yet. And when they wanted to go, they wanted him to go up with them. He said, no, until the Father shows me. And later when they left, the Father told him, well, all clear now. So he didn't want, because look, if he had gone with this, his brethren, they would have gone, hey, come, Jesus is here. You know, it's our brother. He's doing his miracles. You know, and he didn't want to be associated with, you know, people whose hearts were not right. The hearts of his brethren at that time were not right. Later on, thank God, John the Apostle wrote to the elect lady and said, your brethren, I mean, your sons, I'm glad that they are now saved and so on. So, they were saved later on and they believed on him later on, but initially they didn't. But Jesus, what this story shows that Jesus, no, even though people were trying to push him to show these things more openly, he said no, he wouldn't do it. So he wasn't really ever doing it for this reason. Now, that's from Jesus's perspective. Let's look at it from people's perspectives. There's a story, you know, in Acts chapter 4. Now, this story started from Acts chapter 3. Peter and Jay and John go into a temple at the hour of prayer. You know the story. They found this man was at the gate that always begged for alms. Actually, this was one of those things, those cases that Jesus left for the disciples to take care of. Because this man was there when Jesus was there. You know, but it's one of those things Jesus said, well, you know, you guys take care of that. So this man had always been there. And when he saw Peter and John coming in, he always asking for alms of them that entered the temple. So he asked them, hey, can you give me something? So Peter's response was really strange. He said, look on us. So the man looked on them, expecting to receive something. And Peter said, well, I tell you what, I really don't have silver and gold to give you, but such as I have, glory to God. Now, this is confidence. You know, such as I have, I give to you. Now, this is the way that we should respond to situations that need healing, miracles, whatever. This man was a cripple. And Peter is saying, look, I can't really give you carry money like that. I don't have money like that. You know, but what I have, I can give you. And so the man is wondering, what in the world is he going to give me? Money is all I'm asking. Is he going to take off his coat and give to me or whatever? I want money. That's all I need. The man did not know what was coming. I just say, hey, just give me something. So Peter then took the man by the hand. You know, now, Peter didn't say to the man, you know, do you believe that Jesus can heal you? He didn't say any such thing. You know, he just took the man by the hand. You know, and he said the words over him, you know, that would change, you know, and bring a riot later on. He said, look, you know, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He didn't ask the man whether he believed. Didn't even give the man the chance to say, well, I don't know about that. He just took the man by the hand, pulled him up. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Pull the man up. Wow. Now that was bold. What if the man didn't get up? Well, Peter didn't think about that. He just used the name of the Lord and took the man by the hand and pulled him out of his wheelchair or whatever he had. And immediately, oh my goodness, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man leaping up and walking, you know, he entered with them the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And we sing a song like that. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you know, rise up and walk. So they used the name of Jesus. Now, the man that was healed, he was just running all over the place. There was such a, it was such a sight. Everybody knew the man. Everybody saw him there, gave him money. So I said, wow. So these people eventually, you know, when all this noise was named, you know, noise abroad and everything, and then the spiritual, religious, they were not spiritual, religious leaders came around and said, well, what is all this stuff going on? So they, you know, they, and even the man himself was trying to make Peter and John as, make them out to be something than they were not. And everybody was running about saying, my goodness, you know, these people, wonderful people, and so forth, you know. No. Jesus, Peter said, no, let it be known to you today. Because even then, the religious leader said, by what means did you guys do this? Those people never cared anything about the people. All they wanted to just, you know, do something, criticize something. If it had been on the Sabbath day, that's all they would have focused on. But to say, look, let it be known unto you this day. If you guys are wondering, and all of you people are also wondering, how did we do this? You know, people wondering. How do we do this? How did you do this? And everybody say, you know, and they thought they were some great thing. He said, no, we didn't do this of ourselves, but this Jesus whom you guys crucified. So Peter indicted them again, whom you guys crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You know, he said, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. The stone which you guys rejected, that was the Christ. God has now made him head of the corner. And by him, these signs and wonders are done today. And his name, through faith in his name, has given this man this perfect soundness before you all. Now, so Peter is using this miracle, you know, this using this miracle that just happened. And he's saying it's in the name of Jesus. He's using it now to promote Jesus. That's what he's doing. In fact, he's demoting himself. Because people are trying to make them great. Say, no. Don't think that we did this by ourselves. No. It is the name of Jesus that carried this man, this perfect soundness before you. And that's the real testimony. Miracles, signs, and wonders must be done to the glory of God. Not to bring attention to ourselves. But how do we do it today? Just to bring attention to ourselves. There's some miracle, we got to put it on TV. You know, well, if you put it on TV to the glory of God, that's okay. But, you know, most of the times it's not so much to the glory of God. It's just so that people can know that great things are happening in our church, you know, or great things are happening in our lives or whatever, you know. So, but that's not it. You know, we got to give the glory to God. He said, now it's no salvation in any other. This is the man, Christ, that you must believe in. And he told them many things. So anyway, finally, they grabbed a hold of Peter and John. Brought them into the council and said, look, we're going to have to deal with these people. We don't want them, you know, they're filling, you know, all of Jerusalem with their nonsense, you know, their doctrine and so forth. So they brought them in and so forth. They said, well, we don't speak in his name anymore. You know, and don't do any miracles or anything in this name. But listen to what they said in Acts, you know, chapter 4. Let me read from verse 13. This is a powerful testament again to the reason why God, you know, honors miracles and signs and wonders. He said, this is Acts chapter 4. I want to read, you know, from about verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they were not schooled, they didn't have any degrees or titles to their names, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, again, you know, that responding to Jesus. And beholding the man that was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But they all knew this man. They all gave him alms before. They knew this man. So when they commanded them to be set aside, they brought them and said, what shall we do to these men? Listen to this. For that a notable miracle has been done is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This came from the mouth of the religious leaders themselves, the fake religious leaders. Yeah, so miracles cannot be denied. So that's another thing. It's a substantial thing. I mean, if you go into the store and you see a man on a wheelchair and you raise them up, you know, you're going to cause a riot, you know, because it cannot be denied. The man was on a wheelchair and now he's running around everywhere. You know, that cannot be denied. So these people said with their own mouth, miracles cannot be denied. We can't deny this. And this thing brings glory to God. Now, of course, after this, they threatened them some more and did some more things and so forth. And they told them, don't do this. Don't preach in this name. Don't do it. Peter said, well, I don't know. You judge within yourself who we should obey, you or God. But they prayed. See, there's nothing wrong with praying for signs and wonders. Let's look at the prayer that they prayed. You know, if you go towards the end of this chapter, you know, they were praying. He said, look, now, Lord, verse 29 and 30, he said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You know, when they went, got to their folks, they said, look, they threatened us, they beat us, they did all these things and so on. He said, wow. He said, yeah. And now everybody is scared that, look, these people are going to, you know, stifle us. We won't be able to preach the gospel. I mean, they're doing all these things. So they needed more, you know, empowerment, more boldness. So they prayed. Now, these people already received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. But they prayed again. You know, Jesus told them that you will receive power to be witnesses unto me. And at this time, they're afraid. They've been bold, but now they're afraid. So they prayed for some more emboldenment from the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing wrong with that. But look at their prayer. Now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Acts 4 and 29. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So nothing wrong with that. They prayed like that. But they knew that, look, these signs and wonders will bring glory to the name of Jesus. And it will give them boldness. So they prayed. And when they had prayed like that, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the second time that the Holy Ghost came upon a group like that. You know, first time was in Acts chapter 2. It's the same group. Most of them were there in Acts chapter 2. They are here now. The Holy Ghost came upon them again. That same again. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost again. So that's a lesson to all of us. Don't say, oh, I received the Holy Ghost 5 years ago or 2 years ago or last month or 10 years ago. No. You can always go back to God for more. And then they spoke the word of God again with boldness. But let me talk a little more about this, what this miracle did. The people say they can't deny. You can't deny. You know, I'll throw in a personal testimony here. Some of you have heard this before. Many years ago, I was in a certain place. It's like a junior college, you might say, for those of you who live here in the United States, those of you who are in Nigeria, the place what used to be called Federal School of Science in Lagos. And there was one day that was a notable miracle that nobody could deny. It happened on the campus. As the story went, which I've told before, but it goes in line with this. So this man, there was a man who was deaf and dumb from his birth. But he was now a grown man, and he had a little small business. He had a bicycle cart that he sold this thing called Fan Ice and Samco milk and so forth back in the day. This was years ago. This was in the 70s. I don't know if they still sell those chocolates, Samco milk and thing anymore, but he did it. He brought a cart on his bicycle thing to the campus every day. And he was the only one on the campus, so everybody knew him. His name was Sam. I always remember his name because he sold Samco products, and his name was Sam. But he was deaf and dumb. He could see, but he couldn't speak, and he couldn't hear. And all the students patronized him. He was the only one on the campus. So anytime you needed to get a drink, you'd go to him and you'd point to the one and he couldn't hear you and he couldn't talk back. But with sign language and everything, they communicated and he bought and sold and so on. One day, somehow, I can't remember who invited the guy, but the guy came to our fellowship. We had a fellowship there on the campus at that day. At that time. Somehow, one day, the guy came there. And when he ran out of that fellowship, leaping and singing and praising God, just like this story reminds me of it every time I read it, the guy was running around the campus. And they said, "Is that not Sam?" Everybody knew this guy had never spoken. He would just grunt when people speak, because he couldn't speak. His mouth was tied like that. I couldn't hear anything either. I was deaf or dumb. And he started shouting, singing, praising God, running around the campus. And miracles, signs, and wonders are real. Cannot be denied. He was running over the place. People were running after him. What happened? They knew he was this man. He even left his car. And then as the story went, they said, he went to that fellowship. Do you know that? The next day, that place, that room where we were having the fellowship could not contain us. In fact, from that day on, it was like the whole school knew that there was a group. Now, we had two different groups at that time. There was this group called Scripture Union. They didn't believe anything. They didn't believe in miracles, power of the Holy Spirit, speaking tongues, and so on. But they did Bible study, and they were cool. They did prayer meetings. But this other group came out of that group because that group wasn't believing in the power of God. And we started this fellowship. And so when people came, we had to move the fellowship from that place to a bigger place because the place could not contain anymore. Everybody was coming. Say, this man was healed in that fellowship. And he brought revival to that school. I won't go into all the other stories. There's many more things like that that happened. That one was a notable one that brought revival. And many souls were saved because of that miracle. People say, "Wow, what happened to you?" So I went to that place and they prayed for me. And now, you can't deny it because everybody knew this man. I was a grown man, couldn't speak, so you can't deny it. And now he can speak. Now he can even sing, run around the place, shouting and singing and praising God. And so everybody knew it. So that was a notable miracle. It brought glory to God and it brought souls. Brought souls. Now, that's one thing about signs and wonders. And, it's okay to give testimonies, too, about signs and wonders to the glory of God, especially when you are in the, like Peter gave the testimony, the one we just read. But also Saul and Barnabas in Acts 13, when they were sent by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me these ones they went out, their ministry, and did a lot of things. And then they came back in Acts chapter 14, and they gave testimony about miracles, signs, and wonders. In Acts chapter 14, we read from verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they both went, that's Saul and Barnabas, or now, you know, into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, were believing. You know, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made the minds of evil affected against the brethren. So they long time now abode there, speaking boldly in the Lord, and gave testimony to the word of his grace, granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So they gave testimony to the name of the Lord. And so that's another purpose for signs and wonders. We give testimony, you know, to the glory of God. Now let's see what God also speaks about, you know, signs and wonders. Jesus himself, you know, we're told, you know, was, you know, was ratified to be declared to be the Son of God. Power, signs and wonders in the book of Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching this powerful sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And here's what he said about Christ. Ye men of Israel, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders. So he said it. Which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself know. So he's calling attention to it. That God approved Jesus' ministry by miracles, signs, and wonders. You know, now, he said, look, you guys have delivered him up, but it was really the determinate counsel of God that did it. In the foreknowledge, you took him wicked hands and killed him, but God raised him up. You know, but, you know, they backed those things up by the things which even Jesus did. Praise the Lord. And Jesus himself, you know, told disciples to do same things as they go to witness and to testify for him. You know, the role of the early disciples back then was to prove the resurrection of Christ. Because people were doubting it. They had seen it. He showed it to them first, that Lazarus could come out of the grave, you know, after so many days. And he himself would come out of the grave after so many days. And you had to go out there and show the people, you know, that there's the power of God, the name, the Christ is alive. You know, tell them. And so they went everywhere and did it. And in many places, the Bible records the signs and wonders that the Lord did. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, how shall we escape, verse 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, the apostles and so forth, God also bearing them witness. You know, so another way, another reason for signs and wonders is God uses it to bear witness to the name of the Lord. With both signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Spirit according to his own will. That's God showed that. And let's look at some of these diverse wonders and gifts of the Spirit. We've already talked about Acts chapter 3 in the early early days. Acts chapter 3, we've done that. We've talked about, you know, well, let's look at some of the other things. In Acts chapter 5, you know, all these disciples, after they prayed again the second time, they received the Holy Ghost again, they went out again and listened to the report, all the things that they did. I'm going to read from just a few verses here in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read from, you know, perhaps verse 11 or so. So it says, and by the hands of the apostles were great signs and wonders wrought among the people. You know, all that, you know, were there, you know, and so forth. They saw it. And, you know, signs and wonders were wrought. So much so that they brought forth the sick onto the streets. And they laid them on beds and porches, and couches, or rather, that at least, the shadow of Peter, even going by, might heal some of them and touch them and overshadow them, and they were healed. I mean, those are signs and wonders. You know, that they didn't even lay hands. Peter didn't lay hands in this case. It was just, you know, people were seeing that there was an aura about this. Well, these people, there's something amazing happening about them. And say, ah, this Peter, wherever he goes, if he's passing by, oh, just bring your sick. Yet even the, you know, even his shadow. Who ever heard of such a thing? Not, it was, that wasn't even said of Christ. You know, we're told that Christ in Matthew chapter 8, verses 16, said he healed everybody that brought to him and so forth. And in many other places, he healed them all. But look at these people. Even their shadow, you know, healing the sick and so forth. Multitudes are even convinced that the power of God is with these people. You know, so, you know, those are some great things that were happening in those days. Also, Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. We're told that, you know, there were many miracles that God did by the hands of Paul and so on. You know, that even people taking aprons, you know, for his body, slice up his clothes, handkerchiefs from him and send it to people. And devils were coming, crying out of people where these things happen. Now, these were anecdotal records of things that happened. These are not doctrines. You know, don't make a doctrine out of any of this. These are things that happened. You know, it's not a doctrine that you should, you know, now be sending handkerchiefs and, you know, walking around saying your shadow will heal the sick. It's not a doctrine, but it's what happened. It happened. And it cannot be denied. And they recorded it. You know, now, the doctrine that is given, doctrine of laying on of hands, given to us, you know, Jesus gave it in Mark chapter 16 when he was talking, you know, sending disciples out. He said in, you know, verses 15 to 20, you can read it there. Now, that's doctrine because Jesus said, go and do these things like this. And so we're given the commandments to do. He said, go and preach the gospel everywhere. And, you know, those that believe you, great things will start happening even in their lives, not just yours, but even in theirs. And that's what Jesus said. You know, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He was talking even beyond his early disciples, or who we now call apostles. It wasn't even just talking about that. It was talking about people who we hear them, that we believe their gospel that they preach. Those people themselves will also have the power to do these things. And we had talked about that yesterday when I was talking about walking in the prophetic. Everybody, I believe the gospel. Jesus said, you can do these things. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. You know? So, what will they do? Well, in my name, cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Take out serpents and so forth. Drink anything, you won't hurt them. I can do all these things. These signs shall follow. Now, that's follow. That's not precede. It's follow. We don't put the signs in front. The signs come, you know, and listen to what he said. And they went forth in verse 20 and preached everywhere. And the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. You know, so signs are following. You know, they preach the word and signs will follow. Ah, praise God. And it was powerful things. And these are things that people could not deny. Let's talk about some more evidence in the scriptures that these things are meant for the glory of God. There's a story in John chapter 9. Verses 1 to 3, where again, the people saw a man that was born blind for 40 years at this point. And the disciples asked Jesus, he said, this man that was born blind, why was it so? Was it because of the sins of his parents or his own sins that made him to be born blind? And listen to what Jesus said. He said, no, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, so the glory of God in the day that Jesus healed this man was what God was looking for. So the healing of this man, when he was healed, he brought glory to the Lord. Said the works of God brought glory, to the Lord like that. Praise the Lord. Now, let me talk about some other wonders and different things that happened. Now, there's healing, shadow healing, laying of hands, handkerchief healing, and so on. Those are all wonders. There's also other wonders that even happened around the disciples. Just wonders. I mean, one time in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in prison after they, cast out the devil from a damsel that had the spirit of divination. And her master saw that the way that they made their fortune was gone. So they cooked up a case against these people, said, "Let's turn this place upside down." That they threw them in this prison. But Paul and Silas, they pray, they sang, the Holy Ghost came down. Now at midnight, Paul and Silas, they pray and they sang and the Holy Spirit came down. Angel of the Lord snapped those chains, broke those gates. Bible says that the prisoners heard them. They were not bitter that they were in prison. They were even happy that they suffered for the name of Jesus. And they were just praising the Lord at midnight. And the power of the Lord struck that prison, snapped those chains, not only theirs, everybody else. Now, those are signs and wonders. Influence of something good happening in your life, even, affecting others. Angel of the Lord coming to set free, Paul and Silas, but at the same time, setting all the other ones free that were in prison, just snapped the gates, snapped the chains. The prisoners were loosed. The guards saw that and said, our life is changed now. Roman guard, if a prisoner escapes under your watch, you pay with your life. So the man was ready to kill himself. He was on the watch. Paul said, no, we're all here. But that was a miracle, how God just delivered them supernaturally like that. It led to the salvation of that man. The man said, wow, what shall I do to be saved? Because he saw the power of God. So the power of God that demonstrated there led him to salvation. So, well, you'll be saved, your house too. Take us to your house. He went to his house, all his house gathered, was saved, baptized, all these things. And it was amazing. What that sign and that wonder did, And then God also did signs and wonders among the disciples, and even in the early church, some of these disciples, they took the power of God and went among the people. And it wasn't just the known apostles that were doing the miracles. In fact, there's a story that you can read in Acts chapter 6 where, it came to a point in time because the apostles were busy and everybody was saying, people used to gather, sell things, bring, and they used to share. Nobody said anything was there, so they had things in common and all that. And they were sharing these things out. And the apostles were embedded in this task of daily ministration, giving to the widows and doing all these things to the point where they couldn't do it all. And so people say, hey, look, some people, we're leaving some people out. And so finally the apostle, look, enough of that. We can't deal with this. We got to focus on the word of God and the ministration. You appoint yourselves people full of the Holy Ghost and so on. And we'll put them over this church. So they did. And Stephen was there. Another man called Philip was among them. And then five others. Now, he said, but we give ourselves a prayer. Now, this Stephen that was so appointed to be a deacon or somebody that will serve the widows, that was his appointment. This Stephen who was there, listen to this in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. Stephen was one of the people, you know. They called his name Stephen. They called, said Stephen was full of faith, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And there was Philip, and there was Procius, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, and Niger. You know, all these people. I mean, well, I don't know. All these people were there. So, they were there. They, Niger was not the one here, but they were there, and they appointed them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, he called Stephen out in particular, and later Philip. He said, and Stephen, Acts chapter 6, verse 8, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, this was not Peter. This was not James. This was not John. It was somebody that was relegated to the background. Hey, you guys go do that. We will do this other thing. This was not somebody that had the microphone, if I can say that. You know, he wasn't even on stage. He went into the marketplace. Glory to God. He went among the people. You know, he didn't need to get up in the pulpit, but the miracles followed him wherever he went. And this is the thing. So we, you know, whether you are have the mic or don't have the mic, that shouldn't stop you walking in miracles, signs, and wonders. It should be the new normal for our life. Stephen went out there. He had his day job. Hey, serve the widows. Well, when he finished that, he said, fine, I'm done with that. I'm going out among the people. And he walked miracles, signs, and wonders. Nobody expected him to do that because they thought, hey, your job is just to serve the widows over here. Yeah, you do that, but then you do the other thing too. And so that's the same thing for us. You know, you may think, well, you know, I'm just a teacher. Well, I just walk in this hospital, or I'm just walk in the library, or I just do this and that. Or, you know, even in the church, well, I'm just I'm a nobody. I'm an usher. I'm a this, I'm a that. There is no such thing with God. If you have a Holy Spirit, this Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, just like you. All of us claim we have the Holy Spirit. Then you go out and do the same things that Stephen did. He went out among the people and he did miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, and later on, Philip, in Acts chapter 8, Philip and Stephen were among the seven. In Acts chapter 8, Philip also went to a certain place called Samaria. And when he got there, in fact, he turned the whole place either upside down or right side up, whichever way you want it. And this also Philip, not the Philip that was apostles, but Philip that was the deacon to serve the widows. He went down to this Samaria. And listen to what he said in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. He said, from verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He also did his widow feeding the poor and all those things. When he finished, he went out to a place, a city. He didn't have any evangelists or prophets or apostles with him. He just went on his own. And when he got there, he just preached Christ to the people. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake. Why? Hearing, some of them were hearing it when they heard it, they came. And seeing with their own eyes the miracles which he did. Why? Because unclean spirits were crying out with a loud voice. And they were coming out of many that were possessed with them. And people were paralyzed, palsies and lame, and everything were healed. This was Philip. He wasn't even one of the apostles. It was just Philip. But they were walking in the prophetic. They were walking in the power of God. They were walking in the glory of God. Signs and wonders were in his life. It didn't matter whether he was, you know, had a title to his name or not. They were doing it. And these two examples show us that, look, we too, you know, can be inspired to do these things. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to give another story here, and then, you know, I'll yield for us to share testimonies. And if you have some testimonies on influence that this, the power of God through signs and wonders bringing the lives of people, well, be ready to share. I already told you the one that happened, to the deaf and dumb man at this place called Ferrer School Science. You know, that thing brought revival. There were many more things such as that happened during those times that did. Here's another miracle, another sign and wonder that happened in the book of Acts chapter 12. Herod got a hold of James and killed him somehow before the church even got wind of it. And then he saw that, yeah, the people liked it. In fact, I killed one of the disciples of Jesus. So he grabbed Peter also, put him in prison. You know, I'm going to kill him also. Well, the night that he was going to bring him forth, this time around, this did not catch the disciples unawares. This time around, they had gotten wind of it, so they got together and they were praying. The whole of them got together. And along came the angel of the Lord to where Peter was held. He said, you know, Peter was held between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Keepers were in the front, the prison. I mean, soldiers and everybody, chains and all. The angel of the Lord. Now, these are signs and wonders. Yeah. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison and smote Peter on the side, raised him up, and arise quickly. And the chains fell off of his feet, and his hands. And the angel said, guard thyself, bind on thy sandals, and so on. And he put his garments around him, and he went and followed him. He didn't know what he was doing. He thought he saw an angel, a vision, but it was real. And when he went past the first and second ward, all the prisoners, a deep sleep was falling on the guards. They came to the iron gate that led itself into the city, and those gates opened unto them. That's a signs and wonders. on their own accord. And they went out and they passed through one street, and then the angel departed from them. And Peter said, my goodness, this is not a vision. This is real. Praise God. And so these are miracles, signs and wonders. And, I have told of a story like this one time that, I saw in real life, one of our sisters also, while we were in Federal School of Science, was sold to the devil because she was from an occultic family that, worshiped Satan. And when she believed the gospel, they gave her up to be a sacrifice. And they gave her to this cult, and she was held in this place where they shaved her head, took her memory, and chained her with chains on her hands and feet. And I went there to try to set her free. I couldn't. She didn't even recognize me. And I went there again with another evangelist who I thought was a man of God. It was from that area of the country where those people were from. Spoke their language. And it was someone that was teaching us deliverance from demonic powers at the time. So I thought he could help us. I was only about 19 then. And they had these large gates. I saw those gates. Some of you have heard these stories. And saw those gates. And when I got there, they said, take off your shoes. Come in the temple of Satan. I said, shoes? No, I'm not taking off my shoes. I take off my shoes if I'm in the presence of the Lord. I said, you don't take off your shoes, we're going to have your head. And, back in the day, I said, have my head, you can't do it. I'm not taking off my shoes. And they bundled me out. They brought out their machetes. They could have had my head that day. But this man that was there, he pacified them. But they threw me out of those gates. And I closed the gates, and I saw those gates. So anytime I read this story, I always remember that. Those gates were huge. And he said, the next time you show your face around here, this man will not be here to save you. We'll have your head. So I stood outside the gates. The man spoke to them for a while, trying to beg for this young girl's release, but they wouldn't. They were preparing her for the sacrifice. I saw her. They shaved her head, put chains around her feet, put chains around her head. She was like a monkey. They put chains around her waist. She had chains everywhere. She was chained down in their synagogue. And she was being prepared for a sacrifice. She will be there for weeks. I don't know how long. So I went back to our company and said, well, I tried, but I couldn't. So they began to pray. And after a while, I left. I left that city and went to the university in another city. which was many, many miles away. And then, you know, as the story went, and I've told it before, yeah, one day I was sitting in my dorm room. My dorm is like, you know, the room I was like on the third floor of that dorm or whatever. And that particular dorm was not the first that you saw when you came into the University of Ibadan campus. It was tucked behind. It was one of the newer dorms. I was in the Independence Hall, tucked behind. So I say all of that to show you the power of God. Those are miracles, signs, and wonders that God did. I didn't do it. But one day I was sitting in the room and I heard a knock on my door. And I went to the door and I opened, and this sister was standing right there in front of the door. And I almost, I thought I had seen a ghost. You know, she was standing right there. The last time I saw her, it was a few weeks back, she didn't even remember who I was. I had lost her memory. How in the world could you know where I was? She didn't know where I was. How'd you get here? Come in. She came in and she told me the most amazing story that I've ever heard in all my life. And if not for the fact that I read something like this in Acts chapter 12, it would have been difficult to, I would have believed it anyway, because back in those days until now, I believe anything. So she told me this amazing story. Said one night, you know, suddenly saw a bright light in front of her and somebody clothed in white raiment, white garment, who beckoned unto her to come. I said, beckoned on you to come? Say, yeah. And what happened next? I said, well, I was chained down. And I said, yeah, I saw those chains. You know, and then she said, the chains fell off my hands and feet and around my waist. So, wow. And what happened then? I said, well, this man said, follow me. And I followed him. I said, well, what? And she started telling me this thing. And it sounded just like the story of Peter. And he said, when we got to those gates, they opened by themselves. I said, wow, because I saw those gates. And then the man said, took me. And this occultic place was like 1 mile into the jungle from the main road. He said, well, you know, he said, the man took me to the main road, you know, and when he got there, he put me in a transport. And by this time, her mind is returning to her gradually. So she's remembering things. And the man gave instructions to the driver of the public transportation. It was a private cab that they chartered. This angel did it. She didn't know anything about it. He said, Take her to such and such a place. Gave instruction to bring her to University of Ibadan. This was in, you know, outside of Lagos. Bring her to University of Ibadan. Go to this place called Independence Hall. Go to, you know, drop her at this place and then give her. Go up to so-so-so room and knock on the door. All these things. I had no knowledge until she was saying it. And then she said, I'm like, oh my goodness. This was somebody we tried to save that we couldn't save. But when it was time, by the miraculous power of God, God did it. And this woman was standing right there in front of me. The angel of the Lord had set her free, just like Peter. He did it. Praise the Lord. And so these are miracles, signs, and wonders. The last one I'm going to tell you, and this brought revival again too, was the miracle of the crazy man. And some of you have heard this story also. There was a crazy man that was in a certain place in Lagos called Race Course. Some of you might know that. And back then, again, this was in the 70s, you know, he lived underneath the rocks. There were some rocks there. And you didn't go over that place. You did. He'd jump out at you, tear your clothes, beat you up. You'd be bloodied all over your place. So every time people got to that area, they crossed over to the other side because they were not going to let this crazy man jump on them. But one day I went by that place and I was with my wife. We were not married at the time. Well, we were kind of going out together. So we were going to that place. And as soon as I got near that area, I remember that this crazy man was there. So I said, hey, let's cross over to the other side because I don't want to be attacked by this crazy man. So we were crossing over to the other side. And then the Holy Spirit said, I don't know how in those words, but today, thinking back, this is what I think the Holy Spirit might have said. But he said something to me to the effect of, you got to be kidding. You know, you got to be kidding. You're going to, you know, cross over to the other side because there's a crazy person there. I said, yeah, you know, but you know, I got to protect my woman here. He said, no, you go back there and do the needful. So I said, okay. So I told the woman, you stay here. I'll be right back. Of course, she did not stay there. She followed. Didn't I tell you to stay there? I got to see this. Yeah, so, well, you know, so I went back there. And as soon as I got to that side that I was trying to get away from, sure enough, this man jumped out. You know, because people don't pass on that place. You just don't do it. Jumped out, come out of me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, come out of the man. Oh, my goodness. He came so close and he stopped and dropped on the floor or ground. And there was this stinking thing. Ugh. You know, never smelled anything like it. Came out of the man. And he rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled for some time. After what seemed like forever. It might have just been like a minute. But it seemed like forever. And I was just looking and, you know, I'm telling my wife. She wasn't my wife then, but she's my wife now. But I'm telling her, you stay behind me there. And then she's standing there. And like, so finally after a while, he calmed down. And his eyes rolled and everything. And it seemed as if something happened. And he said, what's going on? What's happening? Then I knew that the devils had gone out of him. Said, I said, long story, you know. Say, how did I get here? Where am I? What? He didn't even have a clue that they had been living in that condition for years. And said, well, long story, we'll tell you all about it. So come with us. So we took him to this place called Salvation Army. Those of you who knew Lagos, there was in this place called Obalende or something like that. And, or Red Cross or Salvation Army, or I can't remember what they were. So anyway, we explained the story to them. They didn't believe it. Well, fine. Well, this man was crazy. Pray for him, he's healed. I said, whatever. So gave him clothes and everything. You know, the next day that we had fellowship, and this man came, my goodness. And they heard the story. It sparked a revival. In fact, a young brother said, well, not too much younger than me. We were all young then. I was probably 19, 20. He said, well, I got to go out and go find some madman to heal, you know. And there was a wide revival that just happened. Crazy stuff that was going, or crazy good that was happening. All kinds of things. These are miracles, signs, and wonders. And revivals were happening. As people gave testimony, more people, you know, were inspired. They were provoked. You know, I said, provoke unto good works. People were provoked. People said, wow, they did that. I'm going to do that. You know, people went out and they did signs and wonders. People came back to our company and gave testimonies. And this is what miracles, signs, and wonders are about. Miracles, I can go on and tell you miracles, even till this day, miracles, you know, signs and wonders that happen. You know, so many of you have experienced it in your lives too. And I want you to give testimony. And so let me round up here on miracles, signs, and wonders. This is also a life in the spirit. This should be a new normal. We shouldn't be thinking that it's extraordinary when miracles are happening. It should be a day. It should be our life. Just like walking in the prophetic, it should be our life, walking miracles everywhere you go. Walking in power, walking in miracles. You know? Everywhere you go, you're just walking in power. Miracles around the house, miracles everywhere. Nothing, you know, nothing hindering you, you know, situations bowing to you and so forth. Even dead things coming back to life, even nature, trees that are dead, you sprinkle water on them, they're coming back to life, you know, things happening. You're speaking to the rain and things and so on. miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. Praying for the sick, praying for even cancers and different things. You know, it's not every day we see these miracles, but I've seen my share of these miracles, especially when we go out on crusades and things like that. Oh, my goodness. And miracles, signs, and wonders. Deliverances. You know, I've seen demons come out of people like crazy stuff that you wouldn't believe. I've seen, you know, one day we were praying for a young lady. It was floating, you know. It was elevated. Well, not by the power of God, but power of Satan that wouldn't, you know, wouldn't set her free. I've seen somebody vomit something that looked like almost the size of a cat out of their mouth during deliverance. But those people were set free eventually. I've seen all kinds of stuff like that. Miracles, signs, and wonders. And what did they do at the end of it? People's lives were changed. People gave glory to God. God the glory. You know, in science school back in the day, there was a revival. Like people never seen. Many lives were changed and the people's lives were touched and changed. Well, God's challenging us again to walk in power, walk in miracles, walk in signs and wonders. And let's hear what God is doing in your life and in your neck of the woods. You can do it too. Philip did it. What's his name? Stephen did it. And these were not people that were expected to be doing, but they did it. And it was recorded for our benefit. So, miracles, signs, and wonders. Part of life in the spirit. Father, I thank you for, again, today's lesson that we have shared. And I know that there are great testimonies in the lives of your people of miracles, signs, and wonders. We can't even... It's a time will fail me to tell of healings and deliverances and, you know, all kinds of things that the Lord has done. Even raising of the dead, you know, and things like that, you know, in our generation. And Lord, but I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that this will give inspiration to your people. And we also know that this will give, you know, the credence to the preaching of the gospel. God will validate the gospel with signs following. But we thank you because we know who's doing the signs. It's you. You know, not we ourselves. For we are within ourselves. We can do nothing except by Christ. Jesus said, you can, without me, you can do nothing. And we know it too. But the works that I do. And Jesus told Philip, he said, well, if you don't believe, believe for the work's sake. So we know that the Lord will cause these miracles to help people. Signs and wonders will help people to believe. And that's our prayer today, Lord, that there will be signs and wonders through the lives of your people that will bring glory to God and turn many to righteousness. We bring souls to the kingdom. And not unto us, Lord, belong the glory, but unto you. That your name may be glorified. That your house may be filled. That's right. The house may be filled. People will come from the byways and hedges when they see the signs and the wonders done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.